It's great to be back here in Wanstead School for our first Sunday service this year. It's great to see all of your handsome faces. Tony, you, I was talking about him. You know, this month, we really want to have a focus on prayer. The beginning of the year is a great time for just having new changes in our life, to start to make decisions, to form new habits, or to get rid of old habits. And it's at the beginning of the year that most people stop and take an assessment and think, what is it I can deal with? What is it I can really work on? How many of us made New Year's resolutions this year? Okay, so that's probably about, I would say, just under half of our New Year's resolutions. So those of us that didn't make New Year's resolutions, we probably assume we've got nothing to change, right? Is that right? No? Still working on the old things. You know, sometimes we don't make the resolutions because we're afraid we're going to fail. But you know, if you don't attempt something, then you're bound to fail. And it's much better to say, okay, let me at least do my very best and let me make every effort. You know, that people talk about second goals, and if you set high goals, because even if you should fail or just miss your goal, at least you've made progress. And I want to encourage all of us is to have that kind of a spirit, because, you know, we can look at our lives and think, I think if we're being honest, we can all see things that we can work on. And now is a great time to say, you know what, it's the start of the year. It doesn't matter that you've missed January the 1st. You can still make a New Year's resolution today. And one of the things we wanted to do as a church was to kick off the year by really focusing on prayer. And I think that's a fantastic area for all of us to be able to make some changes in. It's just in the area of prayer. Take out your Bibles and turn over to the book of James. I only have 2 points in the lesson this morning. And point number one is, you do not have because you do not ask. James chapter 4. Let's pick up here in verse 1. He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. You know, the incredible thing about prayer, and this is one of the things we're going to really focus on for the whole month, is just to get a deeper understanding. And we're never going to be able to fully grasp everything. But one thing that is amazing is there are some things that we don't get just because we don't ask. And sometimes we can say, well, if God wants me to have it, he'll give it to me. Well, this passage tells us there are some things you won't get if you don't ask. And that is one of the key things about prayer. We must pray. You've got to take the initiative. And you know, it's interesting. If you go through the Gospels and you look at some of the miracles that Jesus did, many of the miracles where Jesus was healing people, they only occurred because people asked. If they didn't ask, they wouldn't receive. We've got to take initiative. You know, on Friday night, we had our first class on prayer then. And then we went home afterwards. And I was up late Friday. I was just doing some work on the message for this morning, knowing that yesterday was going to be a busy day. And as I was working late, I was sitting at my computer. Everyone else had gone to bed. The house was quiet. Best time I could work. I'm sitting at my desk. My desk is in my hallway, as many of you know, and working on my computer. And I heard this noise coming from the kitchen, and it's like a rustling noise. And so I got up, and I went into the kitchen, turned on the light. I couldn't see anything. Came back and sat back at my desk, and I heard the same noise again, but this time coming from the living room. And I thought, there's definitely something going on. I thought at first it may have been the wind, the draft, but then I thought, no, it's the same noise, and it's coming from the living room now. And so I got up and I went into the living room, and this time I thought, you know what, I'm going to shut the door in case there's something in here so it won't get out. And then I thought, okay, you know, actually, there's a little gap under the door. I'm going to cover the gap underneath the door, and I put some books down, all my bookshelves in there. I pulled off these books, and I covered the gap underneath the door, and then for the next 15 minutes, I started rooting around trying to see if I could hear that noise. And I heard it, and then it was dead silent. And I'd be like, just really quiet, just listening. And I got down on my hands and knees, and I was looking underneath the sofa, And then I was looking underneath the television cabinet there, and I couldn't see anything. So then I thought, you know what? Let me just clear all this furniture away, because otherwise I'm not going to be able to see anything. And I moved the sofa into the middle of the room, and then I picked up all the furniture, put it on top of the sofa, so that I was clearing the room. I thought either I'm going crazy or there's something else in here with me. And I didn't think it was the Holy Spirit. And so I was wandering around there, and all of a sudden then I saw this little shadow just dart across between the piano and the bookshelf. And so I went round there, and I thought, you know what? I've got nothing. I'm not even wearing any shoes. I'm in my bare feet. I've got to pick up something to protect myself with. I got this umbrella. But then I thought, you know, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. Everyone's asleep. I can't be banging on the ground. So I put the umbrella down. I picked up a book. And as I went round the piano, this mouse ran from behind the piano and it made a dart for the door. And it ran round the edge and I could see it running all along the wall because I'd moved the sofa out of the way. It went round the edge, it went to the door, and of course, the books were blocking its exit. And I was chasing after it with a book in my hand. It was, don't just stand there, pray something. And I was with this book in my hand and its mouth making its way to the door. And as I got to it, it saw its way was blocked and it jumped. I kid not, it jumped about a foot and a half in the air. I jumped as well. Dropped the book. And then it ran back around the piano and then I lost sight of it. And I was searching everywhere for it. And I figured out the only place it could possibly be was there's the bookshelf in the corner, which if you go around the back, you can get underneath the bookshelf, and that's the only way, because there was nowhere else it could be, and I was searching, I couldn't see it anyway. I tell you what, I think of myself, what would I have done if I'd actually caught the mouse? If I got to the mouse and it stood there, what, was I going to squash it with a book? And I thought, no, if I do that, then everyone's going to think I'm a murderer, and it's not really encouraging. But I was thinking about that mouse, so I thought, that mouse is probably terrified. But not as terrified as I was. My heart was pumping and I was getting a bit... So in the end, I decided I'm going to just barricade this mouse in so it couldn't get out. I put loads of books up there, stacked up the books to fill in all the corners between the bookshelf and the skirting board and the wall. And I stacked up all these... And I was looking for really thick books. I got my concordance out there and I stuck it in there. There's a book which Steve Sultanti lent me called Bones of the Hills by Colin Eagledon. And I put that in there and I thought, that's Steve's book. So I took it out again. And I got Boundaries, Cloud and Townsend. That's a good book to I put that in there. And I stacked it up. And then I went back out into the hallway to see if I could find a mouse trap. And as I came out of the room, I was searching around. And as I looked, all of a sudden, the mouse had got out of the barricade, jumped over and run into the cupboard under the stairs. And I thought, I'm not dealing with this tonight. It's too late. So I just got some duct tape and I sealed up the entrance there. And I left it all night. But you know what? I took some initiative, all right? And that's all to say that I didn't just sit back, but rather I took some steps to do something about it. That's all I'm going to say. You know what? When it comes to prayer, the Bible says, you do not have if you do not ask. And the only thing I want to encourage us to do, seriously, if there's one thing we get out of the lesson today, and I hope there's more than one thing, but there's one thing we get out of the lesson today is pray. Pray. You say, well, I don't know how to pray, or I'm not really sure. Just do it. Look over in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 15. Look at this woman here who's pleading on behalf of her daughter who's dying. In Matthew 15, pick up here in verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. and her daughter was healed from that very hour. Here's a woman who's in desperate need for, on behalf of her daughter. She's pleading, and at first she's ignored. Then she's insulted. And then finally the people are saying, look, the disciples say, look, just send her away. But she carries on asking, and because of her perseverance and her persistence, Jesus says, your request is granted. You have great faith. Now, her faith is demonstrated by her willingness to step out and keep and asking. You know, just ask, just pray, take the initiative. Even if you sometimes feel like, well, I don't know if God's hearing me, or I don't know if God's going to answer my prayer, it doesn't matter, just pray. Look back in Mark, or look over in Mark chapter 10. In Mark 10, let's pick up there in verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus' disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, Jesus said, Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Now here's a blind man, he hears Jesus of Nazareth is passing, he figures this is my opportunity, and he cries out, son of David! And everyone's like, be quiet. In fact, some people started to rebuke him. But he refused to shut up. And he cried out all the louder, son of David, have mercy on me. And then Jesus says, call him over. And Jesus says to him, what would you like me to do? You would have thought it would be obvious, wouldn't you? What he would want. But Jesus wanted to hear him say it. What does he want me to do? Jesus asked. And he said, I want to see. You know, God also commands us to pray. And prayer is an incredible gift. And though God knows what we need, nonetheless, he leaves it to us to ask. You know, the first point is simply this. You don't have because you don't ask. You say, well, I'm not really good at praying. It doesn't really matter. You don't necessarily have to pray in a certain way. There's not like a particular form of words or you've got to stick to. You just speak to God. You talk to God. He knows what you need. And even if you don't express it properly, it's okay. You know what it's like. You're a parent with a child. And especially if you've got young children, even though they don't necessarily know how best to express themselves, as long as they make their needs known, as a parent, we want to meet their needs, don't we? And isn't it true that sometimes we just wait for our children to come to us rather than just give them without them asking? God's the same way. He wants us to come to him in prayer. You know, I was reading this book about children's prayers. In fact, letters to God written by children. I want to share a few with you. Because you know what? Even though they don't know exactly all the ins and outs and all the theology, the fact is they're speaking to God. You know, one little boy, Elliot, he wrote, Dear God, I think about you sometimes, even when I'm not praying. And that's brilliant. Darla writes, Dear God, did you really mean do unto others as they do unto you? Because if you did, then I'm really going to fix my brother. She clearly obviously doesn't understand all the right way to do things, but nonetheless, she's speaking to God. Norma writes, Dear God, did you mean for the giraffe to look like that, or was it an accident? Or Eddie writes, The bad people laughed at Noah. You made an ark on dry land, you fool. But he was smart. He stuck with you, God. That's what I would do. Neil wrote, Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed right in the church. Is that okay? Or Joyce, she said, Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Bruce wrote, Dear God, please send me a pony. I never asked for anything before. You can look it up. Larry says, Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. I know that works for me and my brother. Nan wrote, "Dear God, I bet it's very hard for you to love everybody in the whole world. There are only 4 people in my family and I can never do it." Or Charles wrote, "Dear God, I do not think anybody could be a better God. Well, I just want you to know that. But I'm not just saying it because you are God already." You know, children, just they're very simple. And so I think that's one of the reasons why Jesus says we've got to become like little kids. Because we may not have the right words, and we may not even know about how the right forms or the ritual, but it doesn't really matter. God just wants us to speak to Him. And I think the first thing we've got to do is we've just got to take the initiative. Just pray. You know, we have a Sunday morning prayer service every Sunday, 10 o'clock. Let me encourage you, if you are not involved in the service or preparations beforehand, come. 10 o'clock, we'll meet in one of the classrooms. And let's become a church that's a praying church. If you're looking for someone to pray with in the mornings, but you're too far away to meet up with someone before work, get on Skype. Pray with some of the brothers, Martin, some of the other brothers who are on Skype and pray together every morning. Just take the initiative. If you're married, make a decision to pray with your spouse every day. Take the time, whether it's in the morning or at the night, but just every day, make it into a habit. That's something that Julie and I did last year. That was our New Year's resolution. And now it's a habit in our lives. We pray together every day. Pray with your children. If you've got kids, pray with your children every day. Make that a habit. But the first thing is, we've just got to take the initiative. You do not have because you do not ask. Let's turn back to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, and we'll look at our second point. You do not get if you ask with wrong motives. In James 4, let's pick up there in verse 3. He says, "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture says without reason that the spirit he calls live in us envies intensely?" You know, God, the Bible tells us God is a jealous God. God loves us, his people, but he wants us to love him. He doesn't want us to be divided. He doesn't want us to be adulterous. When we come into a relationship with God, it's as if we are entering a marriage contract. And just as if one partner in a marriage is spending too much time with someone else, that it can leave the partner at home feeling cheated on or betrayed, it's the same in our relationship with God. If we're focused on the world, if we're focused on ourselves or on worldly pleasures, that upsets God. The Bible says you do not have because you do not ask, but he also says when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. You know, we've got to have the right motives when we pray. You say, well, what exactly is that? Well, on Friday night, we talked about this whole idea of praying in the name of Jesus. Look back to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we talked about this whole idea of praying in the name of Jesus means that we're going to be praying consistent with Jesus' teachings, praying consistent with his character. To pray in Jesus' name means to pray by his authority, in harmony, or pray sanctioned by Jesus. To pray or to act in the name of Jesus means that we do so with his approval. And so, of course, the things that we're going to be praying for are going to be consistent with the very things that Jesus himself would be praying for. In John chapter 14, in verse 12, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He'll do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it." Jesus says, listen, if you ask in my name, I'll do it. Asking in his name means it's going to be according to his will and what he would be praying for. But nonetheless, we still need to ask, but he will answer. And he says it again. In verse 14, he repeats it. He says, "If you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." You know, Jesus wants to work through us. He says, "The things I have done, you will do, and you'll do even greater things." Jesus wants to continue the work he began here on earth. But he's working through us. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us, that God is working through us, it's as if we are his ambassadors. And he wants to fulfill his mission. But he needs us to ask, but we've got to ask in the name of Jesus. That means according to his will. 1 John 5, verse 14, tells us that if we pray, and it's in accordance with the will of God, we will have what we pray for. But there's another reason right here. There's another motive for God answering our prayers right here. And that's in verse 13, where he says, I'll do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. At the end of the day, is will God be glorified by our answered prayers? So there are three things here to keep note of in terms of praying with pure motives. Number one, is it the will of God? Number two, is it in the name of Jesus, i.e. according to his authority and in keeping with his character? And number three, is it for the glory of God? But if those three qualifiers are in line with Scripture, God hears and answers our prayers. And so we should have this attitude of, you know what? We need to pray. I've been praying for my family for a long time. I pray for my family regularly. And not just my immediate family, but even my extended family. I pray for my brothers. I pray for my sisters. And you know, one of the things that encouraged me is even just a couple of days ago, my eldest brother rang me up. And out of the blue, he just rang me up and said, you know what? He said, can I come to church with you on Sunday? He said, my daughter's coming over with me to stay with me. Can we come together? I was so encouraged by that. I said, absolutely. And so I went to pick him up. And you know, my brother's with me today. I won't get him to stand because he keeps himself to himself. But you get a chance to meet him in the fellowship. And, you know, I think we look alike. He's a cool guy. Handsome. And well built. But you know, it's amazing how I've been praying. And I think God is working. I want to encourage all of us, let's take it on board just to really pray. This, you know, on Friday night, I was asking some of the brothers, and I was asking people in the congregation, what is it you pray for most? And one of the brothers who shared was our brother Leslie. Leslie shared about, you know, one of the things he prays for consistently is just to be fruitful. Well, you know, it's encouraging because today we're going to be able to witness a young man being baptized into Christ, and that's Elozy. And Leslie is the one who's been reaching out to Elozy and has been studying the Bible with him. And you know, I think the reason why God blesses Leslie with just an impact in his life is because Leslie prays. And he prays consistently. I want to encourage all of us to have that kind of spirit. What is it in your life that's missing? What is it you feel like that God can do this year for you? And sometimes we don't pray because we just lack faith that God can really answer our prayers. But that's not a reason to not pray. And sometimes we're afraid to pray because we're not sure if it's in alignment with God's will. You know what? I want to encourage you, just pray anyway. Because we've all got different questions about prayer. How does it work? Why does it work? We've all got these questions, but we don't need to understand everything in order to pray. I think there's a quote in the book where a guy said, I don't understand everything about electricity, but it doesn't mean I'm going to sit there in the dark until I do. We may not understand everything about prayer, but it's no reason for us not to pray. I just want to conclude with a story. It's called The Interview with God. There's a man, he says, I'll just read it to you. He says, I dreamed I had an interview with God. So you'd like to interview me, God asked. If you have the time, I said. God smiled. My time is eternity. What questions do you have for me? Well, God, what surprises you most about mankind? God answered that they get bored with childhood, that they rush to grow up and then long to be children again, that they lose their health to make money and then lose their money to restore their health, that by thinking anxiously about the future, they forget the present, such that they live in neither the present nor the future. That they live as if they will never die, and die as though they had never lived. God's hand took mine and we were silent for a while. And then I asked, as a parent, what are some of life's lessons that you want your children to learn? And God answered, I want them to learn that they cannot make anyone love them. All they can do is let themselves be loved. I want them to learn that it's not good to compare themselves to others. I want them to learn to forgive by practicing forgiveness. I want them to learn that it takes only a few seconds to open profound wounds in those they love, and that it can take many years to heal them. I want them to learn that a rich person is not the one who has the most, but is the one who needs the least. I want them to learn that there are people who love them dearly, but simply have not yet learned how to express or show their feelings. I want them to learn that two people can look at the same thing and see it differently. And to learn that it's not enough that they forgive each other, but they must also forgive themselves. Thank you for your time, God, I said humbly. Is there anything else you would like your children to know? And God smiled and said, just know that I am here. Always. Let's go ahead and pray at this time. Father, I just pray that during this month especially, that prayer can become a focus for everyone in this room, whether we're Christians or not, whether we fully grasp some of the intricacies or not, whether we're mature Christians or young Christians. I pray, Father, that all of us will commit to just praying consistently and regularly. Father, help us to grow in our prayer lives. Help us, Father, to deepen our walk with you. Help us, Father, to understand, God, that we don't need to know everything there is to know about prayer, but that we can still do it. Father, that you hear us, that you're our dad, you're our heavenly Father, that you know what we need, even if we don't express it well, but that if we don't ask, we won't receive. Help us, Father, to have hearts that really want to bring you glory. Father, your word tells us that if we cherish sin in our hearts, you would not hear us. God, help us to ask with pure motives when we pray. Help us to live our lives in such a way that when you answer our prayers, it really does reflect well on you. God, I just pray that you'll be with all of us, God, as we make decisions to change. And I pray, Father, that the changes will become evident to all. We pray these things in Jesus' name.